A un primero de mayo.
Hello and welcome to the Pick a Pop Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Dusenberg Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD, that's T-H-E-E-S-A-M-D. Use the hashtag Pick a Pop on Twitter to keep up to when this pod is dropping, when it's posted up. SoundCloud.com/ShieldFreeSports is where the show is hosted up on SoundCloud. Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Search The Pick a Pop Podcast. Subscribe and rate, 5 stars, nothing less. Tell a friend. Are you tired of mock drafts yet? Are you tired of mock drafts yet? Have you seen all the highlight videos you can muster? Have you watched dudes who have been wrong about draft picks tell you why this year they're right about this year's draft picks? I'm raising my hand. I'm tired of it. Tired of it. So, finals came and went. Dubs took care of the Cavs as we thought they would. 4-game sweep, broke out the brooms at the Q. KD finals MVP. Now we move on to the most important part of the 2017-2018 season, which is free agency and the draft. But we are on the eve of the draft. That's when this pod is dropping. And we got to get through that first before we get to what LeBron ultimately does and what Kawhi ultimately does. Whether he decides to co-sign and ride with Pop, and he had apparently Woj dropped the mini Woj bomb last night, and Shams backed it up. Shams actually took it a step further, saying that, you know, not only did Popovich go out to meet with Kawhi out in Cali, but that he wasn't alone. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know who that person might have been with Kawhi in LA that would meet with Greg Popovich. But we could certainly play a nice game of what if, can't we? We'll get to that. But the thing I'm going to get off my chest first is this draft. This draft is going to drive a lot of people nuts. Now, if you remember last year, when I didn't really do a draft preview. I just more said, these are the dudes that I like. These are dudes that I like if I had the top number one overall selection. And I don't dig into the whole thing of the prediction business of, okay, this team's going to go here and they're going to take this guy here because of upside need. That's for the draft nicks. That's for the dudes who get paid to do it. I don't necessarily got the time to be sitting out here digging out tape of Kevin Knox. I'm not really here for that. But what I am here for is for these mock drafts to get proven wrong, which happens a lot more than you think. This year, the problem with the mock drafts is that there's a lot of teams with multiple draft picks in the first round. I mean, damn, even my Bulls got 2 first-round picks. So, I mean, when you look at, let's go through who has multiple picks. Clippers have back-to-back picks at 12 or 13. The Bulls, as constituted right now, have 7 and 22. Phoenix has a number one overall pick and the 16th pick. Let's see who else. Philly has 2 picks. Philly has the 10th and the 26th. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. Atlanta has multiple picks. They have the 3rd and the 30th. They have 3 picks, excuse me. They have the 3rd, the 19th, and the 30th pick. So, you know, a lot could go down on draft night. But nobody wants to predict that because it's hard to predict trades. So you're not sure who to project to go where because you don't know who might get enamored by a player and decide to mortgage their future and move up. So with all that being said, who are the 3 players that I like? And this is just, I'm just going to go through this quickly. There's 3 dudes that I really, really like. I like Mo Bamba. I think Mo Bamba could be a transcendent big. He has some weakness in the fact that he's not that strong in his lower body. I have actually watched, like, the three dudes I'm going to talk about, dudes I actually watched play more than once and not just go on YouTube and watch their highlight films that are cut to make them look phenomenal. Like, the dudes that I've actually watched play multiple games and not just more than two. Like, multiple games, like 5, 6, 7, 8 games. And paid attention to them because of the fact that they were supposed to be either one and dones or highly touted prospects coming into this draft. So, the number one guy, number one of three guys that I'm looking for and to seeing where they fall in this draft and what fit that they could possibly fall into, what need they can fill, is Mo Bamba. I think Mo Bamba is a guy with the wingspan is ridiculous. 7'10 wingspan. He's a guy where, for me, in this positionless era of basketball that the Warriors have forced us to move into, if he can shoot the way he's looked in these one-on-none drills, I think he could be phenomenal. He's shown a little bit of a touch from the outside when he was at Texas. He wasn't primarily an offensive option. He was more or less a defensive specialist in the way that he was used. But in this pick-and-roll and cheap-plug pick-and-pop game that the NBA seems to be enamored with at the moment, I think he could be a prospect going forward that could be dominant on both ends of the floor. Now, being a dominant big in today's game is not the same as, you know, in Shaq's era, or even Patrick Ewing's era, even going before that, Moses, or even Kareem. The dominant big man's numbers are going to be more in the sense of like how Boogie plays or AD plays. When you're thinking of dominant big man, you're not thinking of dominant big man in terms of Shaq, where it's like, you know, he could put up 40 and 20 easily. When you're looking at Mo Bamba and his ceiling is more like 15 and 20 with like 5 blocks. That's like peak output of what you're looking for when you're drafting a guy like Mo Bamba. So for me, I mean, he definitely should be a top 5 pick. If he falls out of the top 5, I'll be stunned and surprised. But out of the lottery picks that most people are projecting, he's one of the main guys that I'm locked in on. So Mo Bamba is a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing where he falls. Apparently, he won't go number one and number two. They're looking early. The earliest maybe is number 3-8 to Atlanta. That'll be a great fit for Atlanta because they have absolutely nothing. So, you know, that could be good and bad if you're Bamba, because if you go to Atlanta, now they're going to ask you to score and be the defensive, like, specialist. I mean, they've already put Dennis Schroeder on notice, and he's open for trades if you want to go get Dennis Schroeder. So the future could be Mo Bamba and a bunch of dudes next year in Atlanta, and that to me screams tanking. But, you know, they won't get, you know, that GM about the pain because there's some other issues down below that the league doesn't want nobody to talk about. We'll see that for the podcast as well. But Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba's a dude that I'm looking at as a guy that I'm looking forward to watching him play. So the second guy that I think projects well at the next level, and he's not a one and done. I was able to watch him, and that I think is more predicated when you're talking about guys like Michael Porter Jr. None of us have really watched him. None of us. Like, yeah, you could go back and watch his highlight tape from high school, but then he got hurt, and then we never really got a chance to see him at Missouri, even though he tried to come back and try to give us a little something towards the end there. We didn't really get enough to see Michael Porter Jr., so he gets a caveat. He's like an asterisk. I like him in terms of what I keep hearing about him, but I can't sit here and tell you as a guy that tries to have an NBA podcast and tries to tell you that I know the game and watch basketball on many different levels. I can't sit here and tell you that Michael Porter Jr. is a guaranteed lock to be anything more than a dude that's tall and will get drafted very highly in the draft. That's it. But when it comes to Mikal Bridges, who's my second guy, I'll be able to watch him. Now, he played 3 years. He got 2 chips out of it over there at Villanova. So he's a dude that I think projects very well because not only does he D up, but he could shoot. He's like a 3-and-D kind of guy. And he's a guy that could play on the wing and be a great wing defender, can guard the 2 and 3, occasionally could stay in front of a couple of point guards. But he's a guy that's primarily a 2 or 3, depending on the kind of system you run. And his wingspan's crazy. He's got a 7'2 wingspan. And he could shoot. And that's, you know, where this game is going. I mean, he's improved every year from the outside. He shot 43%, 43.5%. So, you know, pick and pop, we round up. So 44% from three last year. You know, he's a guy where the times I've seen him, he always kind of stands out. And the whole Villanova style is very guard-oriented, and you have a lot of moving pieces in and out of the lineup. But for some reason, whenever I watched Villanova, Bridges was a guy that popped on the screen a lot. So he can make the occasional block. He D's up. He runs the floor well. As I've said, he could pull up. I like his game a lot. I've heard a lot of Kawhi comparisons. I'm not ready to go down that road yet. But I will say I do think he has that kind of like makeup of a Kawhi, understated, just goes out there, gets in dudes' grills, and is able to put the ball on the floor on the offensive end and give you buckets too. So he's not afraid to D up, but he's not afraid to go at you and get a bucket or post up in the corner and wait for that corner three as well. So Mikal Bridges, the second guy on my list of three guys who I think if I had the number one pick or a top three pick or what have you, who I would have under consideration. And the last guy that I'm going to touch on, the third of three guys. So I had Mo Bamba, who I like a lot. And then we have Mikal Bridges, who I like a lot. And I also, you know, after talking with people that I know that are deeper into the college game than me and whose opinions I trust, and going back and watching some of the games that they suggested I watch, I got to go with Lonnie Walker. Lonnie Walker, I like on a level where, you know, he played at the U. He was just a one and done as well. But I'm not going to say he's got a lot of D weight in him, but he has that kind of makeup, similar to how Mikal Bridges, some people already jumping off the clip saying he could be a Kawhi or a Klay Thompson even. And, you know, low key, maybe even like a Iguodala. But with Lonnie Walker, because of the fact that he's an off guard, so he's not really a one, and but he's not really a two either, because the Jimmy's not wet, pause. But, I mean, he only shot, well, I think it was 34% from three, but he seemed to make big shots at big moments. So I think that's where people get the Wade comparisons from, where he's like a combo guard. He's not the greatest shooter in the world, but he finds a way. He has a knack for hitting shots in a big moment or a key spot. So when you combine all those factors, the fact that he can get to the rim, he's a slasher. The fact that he's undersized, about 6'4 and change. The fact that he can finish strong at the rim and absorb contact. Not the greatest shooter, but has a knack for making big shots in big moments. I can get the D-Wade comparisons. But I'm still not going to go there. But I do like his game a hell of a lot. I think Lonnie Walker has a chance, depending on what type of situation that he falls into. I think he can make an impact. He's another wing guy. He's got a 6'10 wingspan. He's only 6'4 and change. That's going to help him defensively. That's going to help him be able to reach in and get strips and maybe jump into the passing lanes and make deflections. That's what makes you an elite defender. When you have that kind of a physical makeup where you got crazy long arms and you're quick and you're agile and got the basketball IQ enough to know which way to lean, which time, when to reach in, when not to, when to anticipate the pass and jump the lane. Those are all intangibles that Lonnie Walker has showed even in this one season at Miami. You know, going into the ACC, tough competition, going up against the likes of Duke and Carolina, you know, you can't understate those. So from the people that I trust, the same people that told me, you know, Tatum was going to be a monster. And I came on here and Tatum was one of my three guys. So you could book that. You can go back and listen to those podcasts. I came out here and I said, yo, Tatum's going to be that guy. And then, you know, Philly went out here and essentially traded Jason Tatum for Markelle Fultz. But, you know, hashtag Philly let us down. So Philly not only let us down with that, but they also let us down by not giving us Cleveland, Philly, and the Eastern Conference Finals. But, you know, we will get over that at some point. So, yeah, give me Lonnie Walker. Lonnie Walker the fourth. Get it right. As somebody who's a junior, that fourth thing means something. Lonnie Walker the fourth. Mikal Bridges, Mo Bamba. Those are my three where I think as we go. Now, look, we know what Bagley is going to be. Bagley's going to be good. DeAndre Ayton's going to be good. But how good? I don't know. I don't know how good Marvin Bagley's going to be. I'm assuming he's going to be really good. But after watching him, sometimes I felt like, oh, yeah, he's going to be nice. And then sometimes I was like, he could be all right. And DeAndre Ayton, he's got the body for it, right? Like, he's got that Dwight rounded shoulders thing on fleek, right? He's got that popping. But in regards to his game and skill set, he might be a looks-the-part all-star. Because he looks it. He looked like he should be dominant. But will he is a whole nother story. And get that Doncic shit out of here. Y'all can fall for that. My dream scenario is him falling and tumbling to a certain team that plays in Madison Square Garden. Because I would love that shit. But he probably won't because the hype machine is already off the charts for Doncic. But, you know, y'all know how I feel about him. I'm not riding with that train at all. I wouldn't take him top five. I wouldn't take him top 10. You know, we could talk, you know, 11 on down. But top 10 pick with these dudes coming out, you know, it'll be a travesty when you have like guys like Mikal Bridges. Like Bridges probably will be in the second half of the lottery, the bottom half of the lottery, probably in that 8 to 14 range. Who's done it for 3 years, has won 2 championships, and have been contributors to both of those championship teams. But a guy like Luka Doncic, with the hype machine and the Fran Fraschillas and the dudes who want to, you know, put up Twitter videos of his highlight tape out there and, you know, with Real Madrid. That shit's cool, but I know a Nikola Mirotic when I see one. And I see a lot of Nikola Mirotic and Luka Doncic. Would you take Mirotic top 5? I ain't think so. But, you know, I'm not here for that. I'm here to tell you who I think is going to be, in my opinion, top dudes at the next level. And I think those top dudes will be, in no order, Mo Bamba, Mikal Bridges, and Lonnie Walker. I think those are the three dudes that I have watched enough and have seen enough of to fully go out there on a limb and be like, yo, those are three dudes I'm looking for at the next level. And I think if your team gets one of those three guys, I think you're in a good position. And if you want to hear me talk more about the draft, because obviously, you know, I do this on the eve of the draft. It's Wednesday when I'm recording this. The draft is Thursday night. But if you do want to hear me talk more, probably more in-depth about the draft, I will be on with my boy who I've had on here and interviewed him, Greg Larnard. I will be on his show tonight around 7:20 Eastern Time, 7 p.m., 7:20 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to check that out, you can hear me go more in-depth about the draft. I mean, you know, I do know the game, so I do know more about it. But on this podcast, I think you guys just want to hear me talk more about what's really relevant in the league and not really breaking down, you know, who, you know, well, what's Jerry West going to do with back-to-back first-round picks. I think you guys want to hear more about LeBron, Kawhi, and the nonsense of Kyrie and all the stuff that goes with that. I think you'd rather hear more of that than me really breaking down, you know, what the Warriors going to do with their, you know, first-round pick, except, you know, maybe they exploit the Bulls again. But 1420 a.m. ESPN Radio, 1420 a.m. out there in Lafayette, Louisiana. Look that up. I usually retweet the links. If you go on the SoundCloud page, you can see there's a link there once you click on the past interviews I've done with G. So, yeah, Greg Larnard tonight. So around 7:20 p.m., I'll be doing more draft breakdown and probably get into free agency and stuff like that. So if you want to hear that live, or as always, I normally post the SoundCloud link after they put it up, so you can do that as well. So soundcloud.com/showfreesports, or you can look up the link for ESPN 1420 a.m. So we'll take a quick break. I'll get back, and then we'll get into free agency, which is now here. And not only is it just LeBron, not only is it just PG-13, but we got Kawhi. And Kawhi still ain't talking, but his uncle is. His uncle's making a lot of moves behind the scenes, and we'll get into all of that. Pick a Pop Podcast, I'll be back. Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSandy. That's TheeSand. That's another joint by May 1st, May 1st Music. Support him at May 1st Music, SoundCloud.com/May1st Music. I'll be going to be going out to Atlanta 4th of July weekend. I had to go check May 1st, so may get some new tunes for y'all to drop. May even get him on the pod because he's a dude that also knows the game. So we'll see how that goes. So keep track with the Pick a Pop podcast. Use the hashtag Pick a Pop on iTunes. Subscribe and rate. Tell a friend. So LeBron, the summer of LeBron is upon us again. This is the third summer of LeBron. Now is the time for LeBron to really make one last hurrah. This is the last hurrah for LeBron James. This is the last super team that he could put together that would be relevant to winning multiple championships. This is his last chance. And I know how good he looked. And I know he dropped 51-8-8 in game one against the Dubs. But after 15, 16 years at the age of 33, soon to be 34, this is his last run. So he needs to make this right. Whatever he does, it has to work. If he ever wants to win, not three, not four, not five, not six championships, he has to make the right decision this offseason. Because it comes down to who you're going to play with and how many of your mans in them are you going to have with you. So you look at the Lake Show. The Lake Show got $60 million in cap space. So it's easy to say, all right, well, give LeBron the max, give PG the max, boom. But wait. Kawhi has entered the fray. Kawhi, through his uncle, has let it be known that he wants to get the hell up out of the Alamo. And I don't blame him. Because have you been to the Alamo? Go down to the Alamo. Nice town. Nice people. No place for a millionaire. Even though Kawhi is a cheap millionaire, he's a frugal millionaire. Still out here whipping a 97 Tahoe, Kawhi Leonard. All that be damned when it comes to you want your downtime to be somewhere where you can chill, somewhere where you just feel more comfortable. And San Antonio, not a lot of brothers like San Antonio. Just saying. You got to be of a certain caliber. Tim Duncan, David Robinson. Got to be of a certain caliber to really get down and hold it down in the Alamo. And Kawhi is not one of those dudes. As much as the media and the Spurs try to portray that Kawhi is of a similar mold to Timmy, which is a little overblown because as we talked about here, Timmy was ready to leave. He was going to be in Orlando with Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady. That was happening. And then Doc Rivers fucked up by saying wifey and the kids can't be on a private jet. They can't be on the PJ. Tim Duncan, I know you're arguably the greatest power forward of all time. I know you've already won multiple championships in San Antonio. But you wifey and the kids, the wifey and the kids can't be on the PJ, bro. That's what Doc Rivers told to Tim Duncan. And that's why Duncan went on to win three more championships with the Spurs. And now Doc Rivers is hoping Jerry West can wave his magic wand with the number 12 and 13 picks in this year's draft to make him back to being a relevant coach and a relevant leader of men. So that's how it goes. So Kawhi wants out. Kawhi is not here for the nonsense. He does not want to be the guy and his number two be LaMarcus Aldridge. He does not want to have to keep bowing down and paying homage to old heads like Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, who seemingly never go away. They never go away. You can't hand the keys over if you never go away. Even though Duncan left and essentially passed the keys over, as long as there's holdovers and Manu and Tony Parker, who's beginning to hit Derek Fisher levels of petty and shady and just the type of dude you don't want in your circle. Tony Parker might be that dude. I mean, I'm going to give y'all some Google homework. Y'all know Tony Parker smashed a teammate's wife, right? Yes, Monsieur Parker smashed a teammate's wife, right? Go ahead and Google that. That'll be your Google homework for this episode of the Pick and Pop Podcast. So as much as, you know, and then Tony Parker was out here throwing shade at Kawhi, saying he had the same injury as Kawhi, and it was 1,000 times worse, and he was still able to play, throwing shade. So another guy, championship pedigree, plays the Spurs way, part of the Spurs culture, throwing shade at the best player. If you're handing over the reins, handing over the keys to the best player of the organization, you can't have old dudes like Tony Parker being comfortable enough to throw shade publicly. And Manu a couple of times almost slipped up in post-game interviews when talking about Kawhi, but he kind of held it together. But Tony, no filter. He wants to smoke with Kawhi. Why? I don't know. I don't know if Kawhi is married, but he better watch out because TP is on the loose. He ain't what he thought he was when it comes to Tony Parker. Just like Derek Fisher's out here basically marrying Matt Barnes' his ex. And the shadiness of how he bagged that in the first place, the Knicks fans know how. But I don't know if the rest of y'all know how Derek Fisher snagged and smashed and stole the former Mrs. Matt Barnes. So this is what I'm saying. Tony Parker's in the same class as Derek Fisher. And those are two things I did not see coming. Number one, that Derek Fisher was that kind of a guy, Mr. Steal Your Girl. But not only is he Mr. Steal Your Girl, TP, Monsieur Parker, also out here, Mr. Steal Your Girl. Can't have those dudes in your inner circle. And Kawhi is out here and he's like, you know, Tony Parker is arguably the 4th, 5th best player on the Spurs even right now. That's sad. And that's the end of an era. And there's no way in hell. I don't care that Popovich went out there to LA and is going to sit down with Kawhi. And what are you going to tell Kawhi? What are you going to tell Kawhi if you're Pop? We're going to get LeBron? How? Who going to take Aldridge? Who going to take Aldridge off your hands? I mean, Aldridge would probably love it because he's not rocking with Pop. You know, although Aldridge played better last year, it was mainly because Kawhi was out and he got to be the man again. When Kawhi was playing, Aldridge was not the man. He was second fiddle. And Aldridge was probably like, yo, I left Portland because I was no longer the man because they fell in love with Dame. So I thought I could come to San Antonio and be the co-man aside Kawhi. And Poppin' was like, oh, nah, bruh. You're going to fill that Tim Duncan in the second half of his career role here. You're not going to be prime Timmy role. You're not here to fill that role. You're here to fill that you're clearly the second, maybe even third option. And Kawhi's going to run it. And LaMarcus was unhappy. And he wanted a trade. And Pop smoothed it over, talked him down off that ledge. And then it got off to another slow start. But then Kawhi went down. And then all of a sudden LaMarcus, when the team was fed directly through him, started to go off. So you're going to sell that to Kawhi now? We'll find a way to get rid of LaMarcus. Who are you going to bring in? What can you get for LaMarcus? I mean, if you want to sit here and spin it, oh, well, maybe we can get LeBron to come to the San Antonio. LeBron ain't coming to the Alamo, bro. LeBron is not going to move Bronny, Bryce, his daughter, and Savannah today. No damn Alamo. It ain't happening. The The Cleveland thing, I get it, hometown, kind of, sort of. But when you've been to Miami, and you've lived in South Beach for 4 years, and you have the option of living in LA, you don't take that LA option, or even that Houston option, even though I think that's more of a stretch than even San Antonio happening. You don't trade in that Cleveland option for that San Antonio option. Not in my opinion. So what are you telling Kawhi? If you're Pop, what are you telling Kawhi? Kawhi needs to be sweet talked. How do you sweet talk Kawhi? You can't sweet talk Kawhi. Right now you got Devontae Murray, Danny Green, who low key I think is a free agent. And you still got old ass Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili hanging on to their prime from 10 years ago. And still think they got the kind of clout to pop off like it's 10 years ago. They have not aged gracefully. You know, ask Patty Mills about Tony Parker. You know, when Tony Parker is healthy, he still thinks he's a starter. Holla at Patty Mills. Find him out there in the outback of Australia with the kangaroos. Go holla at Patty Mills and go ask him off the record about TP. So the Spurs are a mess. So they have no chance. They need to get rid of Kawhi Leonard. As crazy as that sounds, they need to get rid of the claw, Kawhi Leonard. But if you're Pop, you don't want to trade him to LA, right? You don't want to trade him within the conference because then you have to watch, you know, him go off with either Paul George or LeBron or both and run the West with the Dubs. Maybe the Rockets. For the next few years. But what choice do you have? Sure, Boston and Philly have assets. But if you're San Antonio, if Boston comes to you and says, all right, Jaylen Brown, Rozier, and, you know, I think they have an extra pick, first round pick next year. Is that enough for Kawhi? I mean, it's all right. I could live with, I mean, if you're telling me the best player I could get for Kawhi is Jaylen Brown, I'm a little upset by that. And if you're Philly, what are you telling me? Fultz? You want to throw Covington in there? You want to throw, you know, I don't know who you're throwing in here, but I don't think that package either is enough for Kawhi. Or if you're waving the white flag of we're rebuilding, I don't think you can wave that flag and the best you could come out of it is either Jaylen Brown and some prospects and a future pick, or Markelle Fultz, who we don't know can actually play at this level in terms of a shooter, and some picks. I can't live with that if I'm Coach Pop. But if I could go to LA, and you telling me I could have my pick or package of Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo, take 2 out of 3 and let's keep this pushing, then we could talk. I could deal with that. If you're telling me, I mean, honestly, which package would you want more? Pause. Ingram and Kuzma or Jaylen Brown and Rozier? I mean, let's not play games here. Give me Ingram and Kuzma, that package, over the Jaylen Brown Rozier package. And I know Pop don't want to do it. I know he don't want to do it. But if you're really trying to sell or rebuild, give me two of the arguably best players. Because even, you know, if you want to hop back over to the Boston thing, if we make Boston healthy completely, it's full roster healthy. Is Jaylen Brown top 2 on our team? Is Rozier even starting on that team? They took advantage of situations, right? Which is fine. They stepped up. But then we saw Kyle Korver snatch Jaylen Brown's soul and he was never the same in that series against Cleveland. Right? So if you're telling me that, these two dudes aren't even top 3 on their own team. when healthy. Because the top three best players on Boston when healthy are Kyrie, Hayward, and then you can either go Tatum or Horford, right? So you're telling me I'm getting the fourth and fifth best player on the Celtics for Kawhi Leonard? No. Not happening. But if you're telling me with the Lakers show, you're getting Ingram and Kuzma, who arguably either 1-2 or 2-3. And that lineup, when healthy, give me the Lakers package. And I know Popovich doesn't want to do it because it's an in-conference rival, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. If you're really out here and you're only trying to coach until 2020, and that's what the reports are, then you need to make those last 2 years be, I would think, as fruitful as possible and leave that organization in the best position possible. So if you're R.C. Buford, I don't know how you approach Popovich. And shout out to Popovich. I saw him on the way to the gig last week, got a chance to say what's up to him real quick. Obviously, this is before all the Kawhi stuff came down. But, you know, chill dude, approachable. But when it comes right down to it, he needs to do the right thing here. And his legacy is solidified. And I think he could even go out on an even higher note if he just go ahead and bites the bullet and says, you know what, the best deal is the best deal no matter who the opposition is. Give me Brandon Ingram and Kuzma over whatever package Philly and Boston could put together. So if that's the case, and we now have Kawhi in L.A., Kawhi as a Laker, LeBron got to go to L.A., right? Because now that trade puts that in the mix. So now they still would have room for two max dudes. PG, LeBron, Kawhi. Is that three better than the Warriors four? Now, you know, talking with some family over the weekend, I threw out there, hey, maybe they can find a way to get Boogie in there. I don't know if that's even logistically possible. I don't know if Boogie would even take the mid-level to make that happen. I just thought it was funny. Yo, you need four to beat the Warriors, right? Okay, Bron, the Claw, PG, Boogie, that's enough. In my mind, that's enough to beat the Warriors. I don't know how that cohesion works on paper. I don't know how Luke Walton could even make that thing pop. But on paper, to me, Bron, Claw, PG, Boogie, that's better than the Warriors. That's a legit super team. Now, I don't know if Boogie off the injury is going to take the mid-level when he'll have some team. All it takes is one dumb owner. He'll have some dumb owner or some dumb GM that throws that max out there no matter what. I don't know if he could turn down that max with that being on the table. Had a chance to go to Cali for that mid-level and take a ride on that LeBron James thing. I don't know if he's ready, willing to do that at this point in his career. But I think it'll be fun. It'll be hella fun. It will rob us of Boogie in the brow, but I think it will be hella fun. So, the Knicks have been put out here as pawns. It happened with Kyrie last year when the Kyrie trade request came out. Oh, Kyrie would love to come to New York. Sure he would. Financially, endorsement-wise, sure he would. Knicks have no pieces. Didn't happen. Was never going to happen. Now again, another superstar wants to be traded. And guess who's on his list of desired places to go? New York. Kawhi would love to come to New York. Of course. Part of the whole deal of him wanting to get out of San Antonio and go to LA is not only for the women, weed, and weather, but it's also for the fact that the matter is he could get some shine, he could get some popularity, he could get his Q rating up. Same thing could happen in New York. Get that Q rating up. Kawhi and his stoic face on the billboard in Herald Square outside Macy's or at the Garden on 34th and 8th is happening. Kawhi and Modell spots is happening. But the Knicks have nothing. The Bulls have more pieces than the Knicks. The Grizzlies have more pieces than the Knicks. The Clippers have more pieces. The Suns, everybody has more pieces than the Knicks. But every time a superstar wants to get traded, their people dangle that New York carrot out there, and somehow the New York media, the New York fans, keep buying it and keep eating it up. It's hilarious. You know, I'm on a group text with the homies. I'm throwing out trade scenarios. Now, I will say this. The Knicks fans that I've been hitting up with trade requests for, they're not buying it full-heartedly yet. Because I think even they're realizing they got nothing. Unless Porzingis is involved in the trade, which would be asinine. Because why would you get rid of your one asset, albeit a hurt asset? Why would you get rid of your one asset to try and get Kawhi? The fact of the matter is, you have nothing. You think Popovich, who has said he's only going to be out here for 2 more years, would take a deal of Tim Hardaway Jr., Nil Aquino, and some future considerations like a first-round pick next year or something like that? You think the centerpiece of a deal for Kawhi Leonard is going to be Tim Hardaway Jr. or Nil Aquino? Moutier, Lance Thomas. So I don't know why people keep doing this. I don't think Kyrie wants to come to New York. It'll be a cool story. If he's really about that winning life, he knows it's not about to pop off here. And I like Fizdale, like Mrs. Fizdale more. But I like Fizdale. It's going to take about 3 years for the Knicks to get right. They got a hit on this draft pick because they didn't hit with Nil Aquino. To me, y'all know how I feel. If you've been listening to the Pick a Pop podcast over the last 12 months, y'all know how I feel about Frank Nil Aquino. Not here for it. I don't care how much he's grown in the offseason. I don't care about any of that. He's not the one. He's not a second or third option on the championship team. I've seen enough. So you've got to hit on this year's draft pick just to get the ball rolling. Because, you know, I was listening to David Aldridge, and he was talking like Porzingis might not be back at all this upcoming season. Like, you know, the fact that James Dolan was dropping that in the meetings he was having with potential head coaches, I thought maybe it was some smokescreen shit. But, you know, David Aldridge, you know, before this whole Stephen A. thing took over, and Stephen A. ran D.A. up out the paint on ESPN, David Aldridge was the guy who you got all your credible news from. So I don't think all of his sources have died out just because Stephen A. boxed him out. And, you know, whether you want to call it cooned his way up or what have you, Stephen A. has bombasted his way to being the guy when it comes to basketball and analysis and talking. You know, Woj got the Woj bombs in terms of inside info when it comes to analysis and talking about the game. For better or for worse, it's been, you know, Stephen A's been that guy. But DA's still out here. I've talked to DA. He's another dude that I've chopped it up with low-key on the side. But DA still got sources out here, and he was on NBA TV, and he was basically saying, yo, Porzingis is most likely not going to play next year. So now, if you're telling me, how's that going to get Kawhi? So Pop's going to trade for who we think is a guy who could be a star, but a dude who's not even going to play next year. So again, how is this going to work? And, you know, Kyrie, you know, I think sees the writing on the wall in Boston, realizes they're not enough. I think he thought him and Hayward could be enough, and that remains to be seen. We'll see how that goes. Number one, they both need to be healthy for that to even be a possibility. So he's another one where we got to see how he responds to his surgeries. And Hayward's not a guarantee. He might be a changed player. His abilities might be lacking. So, all these guys want to be traded, but how do you accommodate all these trades if you're in New York, if you have no pieces? And the one piece you did have may not play until 2019. And that's fall of 2019. You know, when the injury first went down, he had the surgery, you know, the con- the consensus was maybe after the All-Star break of this upcoming season. But now, Dolan telling coaches, potential coaches in the meeting, hey, don't come into thinking year one you're going to have Porzingis, which I thought was a test. But we have guys like DA dropping that knowledge with the sources he has, and he's out here spitting it pretty factually and pretty confidently that he doesn't see Porzingis playing next year. That's, you know, pretty damning. So again, that's another window where you got to close it if you're a Knicks fan. That's why this draft for them becomes that much more important. They have to hit on the 9th pick. They cannot trick off this pick again. They tricked it off with Ntilikina last year. They hit a home run with Porzingis. But they tricked off that pick with Ntilikina. And I don't think you can trade Ntilikina any kind of package to get you anything relevant back. So you're stuck now with having to build and hope that this French kid can grow himself into being a 3. Because he ain't a 1. Damn sure was never a 1. And he can't shoot enough to be good as a 2. So I don't know what he could be. Maybe he could be a 3-and-D guy. I don't know. But if he can't shoot as a 1 or a 2, I don't know how he's going to shoot as a 3. But if he keeps growing, put him at the 3. Make him be, you know, this generation's Bruce Bowen. Have him post up in that corner and only shoot corner 3s and play defense. That's the only way, to me, that you can salvage Ntilikina at this point. I know it's only been 1 year, but I've seen enough of Ntilikina. So we have the Kawhi stuff. We have the LeBron stuff. If you're LeBron, what do you do? This is your last run at being on top. This is it. Is it the Lakers a bust? Do you slide back up to Boston? Do you go to Philly? The point fraud has made himself a free agent. Does that mean Houston's in play? Because now they don't have to give the point fraud 40 plus mil. Now that he's declined his option. What do you do if you're LeBron? To me, you have to go to LA. And I said have to, because I don't see where you can go anywhere else that has the cap room available. You know, Lakers made a lot of shrewd moves. Pelinka came in there and low-key did a lot of great things. And for me, I think the Lakers is the only place LeBron could go because of the cap room and because of the fact that they have young and good enough prospects to go and flip to get a Kawhi. Because again, LeBron and Paul George weren't going to be enough. And I could even say LeBron and Kawhi aren't going to be enough. It's going to take a third, if not a fourth person, to take out that Warriors thing. As much as the Rockets were close, they spit the bit and missed 27 straight threes and win the was 0 for 14 in the third quarter of Game 7 at the crib. So as much as the Rockets got close, the Warriors were able to wiggle out of that and steal it and get it done. And then when it got to the finals, it was a murder, she wrote. And that was with their injuries. Steph, who seems to always be hurt, or battling through injuries. Iguodala barely played. When fully constituted, it takes a lot. When fully constituted, it takes a lot to knock off these Warriors. So I don't think LeBron needs just one dude. He needs about 2 to 3. He needs a big 3 or a big 4. And I think LA, the Lake Show, is the only place where he can make that happen. So we will do a recap pod after the draft. Maybe we'll get the Kawhi move. Maybe it'll be a draft day thing. I mean, the Spurs, you know, I've heard a lot of asinine takes over the last 4 or 5 days when this Kawhi stuff really came out. But man, the Spurs, you know what? Let me take a break because I really want to get into culture. I was about to wrap up, but I really want to get into the myth that is culture. I briefly spoke about it earlier with Kawhi and Tim Duncan and Dave Robinson, the difference between the such, but it ties into a larger thing about culture and what people feel they can manifest in an organization. Let me take a quick break. Another drink by May 1st. We'll come back, talk about the myth of culture, and then we'll wrap it up. And yeah, we'll do that. All right, Pick a Pop Podcast. I'll be back. Welcome back to the Pick a Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. That's another joint by May 1st Music. Support him at SoundCloud.com/May1st Music. Yeah, to wrap it up, man, we got to get off this culture bullshit. The myth of culture really bugs me. I started with the Heat stuff. The Heat culture, you know, Spoelstra, Riley, Iverson, the myth of, you know, Riley in the rings, Iverson being a competent owner, not too handsy, but still involved in the process. And then Spoelstra, who worked his way up from the videotape intern to now being the head coach and thinking that they can turn, you know, Tyler Johnson's into max players, or, you know, Justice Winslow can now evolve, or, you know, they found Hassan Whiteside and they coached him up to being a max player. All bullshit. They have the Spurs culture where, you know, they tanked to get David Robinson. They tanked and got lucky and hit the lottery and got Tim Duncan. They were able to get a couple championships. One championship for Robinson, a couple for Tim Duncan. Then free agency hit, and Tim Duncan, as I said, was ready and willing to leave. He was ready to dip for the allure of Disney, Florida, and the fact that he would get to play with T-Mac and Grant Hill. And Doc Rivers fucked that up. No wifey and kids on the PJ, Timmy. Goes back to San Antonio, wins 3 more championships, gets lauded as the greatest power forward ever. Spurs culture, passes the baton over to Kawhi, who they traded for and was able to flip George Hill for Kawhi. Shout out to Indiana. So, the Spurs myth, the Spurs way, Popovich, the Zen of this generation, the Zen master of this generation. You know, you had Phil Jackson and the culture of Zen that he built around. He would give out books to players and make guys read. And it was psychological warfare that he was having with his players to, you know, give them confidence and to look inner. And he would burn sage or weed in team meetings to help them focus and all of that type of stuff. So this is now what we have. We have the Spurs culture. The culture of the Spurs is, quite frankly, hey, we were lucky and we were able to fall in to get in Tim Duncan. And we were able to capitalize off the fact that Doc Rivers was dumb enough to tell Tim Duncan that his wife and kids can't ride the PJ. And we were lucky enough that the Pacers were dumb enough to give us Kawhi Leonard for George Hill. And we were lucky enough that we were scouting internationally before that became a thing. And we were able to pluck Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker with low picks in the draft, while other teams were out here drafting high school bust. So the Spurs way is a bunch of tanking and luck. Yes, it's easy to have culture when you have arguably the greatest power forward ever paired up with a top 50 player in David Robinson. It's very easy to have a culture. It's also a great culture to have the best player in the league become the best power forward in the game. Okay, there was a run there where Tim Duncan was the best player in the game. And he didn't look it. He didn't play excitingly like it. But every year, you knew what you were getting out of Timmy. And he was the best player in the world for a few years before the LeBron thing happened. So the myth making that we put on organizations and coaches and organizations is nuts to me. There's no Heat culture. There's no Spurs culture. You know how you become a good organization? By having good players. By having really good players. Now there's going to be a Boston culture. You can already kind of see it with this Brad Stevens shit. Again, not how I feel about the boy Genghis. You can already see it. The culture. When Kyrie first got there, you know, he shaved. Clean shaven Kyrie out there, just happy. I've already learned so much. Then he got hurt. Then the team started playing good. Team got to Eastern Conference Finals. Now Kyrie's back to talking like the old Kyrie. What happened to the culture? I thought the boy Genghis would keep you happy. Would keep you sufficient. What happened? Oh, that Celtic staff happened. That Celtic medical staff happened. Even though they fired a whole lot of them after that IT hip fiasco. As Kyrie should, he did not trust that new Boston medical staff. So now he's out here getting second, third opinions on that knee. And then he had to finally get cut. What happens to the culture then? There is no such thing as culture. Stop believing in culture. Culture does not exist. What makes teams good is having elite talent. Culture is shit. Talent is the shit. Two different things. And I'm sure as the summer goes along and we finally see dominoes fall where they may and we finally get to figure out these rosters, we'll be able to examine more. But Greg Popovich, as much as he was a nice guy in person, and I respect the lineage, I respect especially his social commentary in this day and age, being a white guy, being able to say the things that he's able to say, you know, it's not an easy thing for anybody to do. But that culture shit, nah, bruh, that's a myth. Heat culture, nah, bruh, that's a myth. You know, in the 90s, I never heard about the Bulls culture. Even though Phil got credit, it helped that he had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And then Dennis Rodman. That's culture. You know, this Dubs thing. There's no Dubs culture. It's having Steph and Clay and KD. And then you throw in the Draymond. That's culture. Did the Rockets culture change overnight? Because they brought in the point fraud? No. He was just better than what they had prior. So he made the team better. And then the fraud went fraud. And the basketball gods went and got him. Got that habitual nut hitter the hell up out of there. How'd he look watching games 6 and 7? Hey, but at least you got to Western Conference Finals. At least you can wipe that off your resume. You better find a way to join the king and hope you get one cheap ring like GP at the end. And that will do it for the Pick Up Pop Podcast. I am Sam Dusenberry Jr. Follow me on Twitter at TheSamD. That's TheSamD. Subscribe and rate on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. Search The Pick Up Pop Podcast. Subscribe and rate 5 stars, nothing less. You know how we do. Shout out to May 1st, who does the intro, the transitional beats, and the outro that you're currently listening to. Shout out to May 1st, May1stMusic, SoundCloud.com/May1stMusic. So it is Wednesday, pre-draft. You'll get a pod Friday-ish, maybe Saturday-ish, somewhere around there. We'll recap the draft. Maybe we'll have a trade or two that went down on draft night. And then next week, we have the free agency bonanza. We'll figure something out. Maybe I get an interview up here. I had a surprise, maybe for this pod that didn't work out, but maybe we'll have to figure it out by the next pod, or maybe for free agency once that begins. Anyway, Pick a Pop Podcast, Sam Dusenberry Jr., I'm out.